what Miley Cyrus's utility bill is.
Welcome back to the show, The Adventures of Bradley and Dawn.
It isn't random because yesterday we talked about utility
bills.
Well,
we can't stop talking about the damn utilities because the universe wants us to.
That's right. Electricity bills, utility bills, which are two different things.
Not really. I mean, electricity is a utility. Yeah, but yeah, it's a different topic than where we started yesterday and then started today. I mean, at the 1 o'clock hour, you were telling us about how your water bill went up.
Yeah.
So last night, after we talked about when the best time to turn on the AC or the heater was and how couples routinely fight over said behavior, I get home. Actually, it was before I got home. I got the following text. Let me get the actual text. It's not really that exciting. I'm overselling it now. But I got a text alerting me that there had been an issue in our house.
Really? What kind of issue?
And it's...
Louise has taken over.
I mean, that's every day.
Yeah.
Warning, with the face melt emoji. Oh. Warning, I can't get the bleeping furnace to turn on. And I'm like, what? And
oh,
I go,
no.
So the furnace went out yesterday after we just talked about when is the best time to turn the AC and the heat on. Well, obviously yesterday you'll remember the temperature declined after a nice balmy weekend.
That's right.
And so Jamie, you know, according to his rules, because he's got
he has
a plan for when we turn things on, and I most days try to avoid that conversation because it doesn't lead to good places. So. He had obviously looked at the low for last night and thought, I need to turn the heat on. He goes to turn it on. It does not turn on. Now, it's not the first time this has ever happened, but I literally was like, as I'm driving home, like,
how?
Didn't we just do this? Didn't we just have something go out?
Oh, sure.
And it turns out, so then we're like texting back and forth. I said, didn't we just get the furnace fixed? And he goes, I don't bleeping remember. I thought so too. And then we remembered it was actually the water heater. So
I'm surprised he didn't have a charge.
Likely he did have, because whenever we have somebody come over, he writes down everything so that, you know, he knows, like, in case they didn't do the job right.
Oh, sure.
Anyway, so he arranged to have somebody come out this morning. And long story short, they fixed the problem. It was no big deal. Literally. I get a text while I'm walking the dog. The furnace guy is there. And Jamie says.
It's a text from Jamie.
Of course. Also, do you notice a pattern? I'm using the bleep a lot. Of course, the bleeping thing works perfectly when he turns it on. So the guy comes over and literally goes, click.
What? How did it get turned off?
And the furnace just. Well, because he turned the furnace off because it was hot this weekend.
Oh, he turned it off manually?
Yeah, just on the switch. On the thermostat.
Oh.
So that's why he was turning it back on and it didn't work this
week. Oh, I see.
Yeah. So, of course, like the minute he has someone come out to the house, they're like, well, let's turn it on and see if it's still working.
$77. That's my guess.
I have no clue. I have no idea what that's going to cost. But the good news is the guy did run a bunch of tests and changed, like there was a part that needed to be changed. I just thought it was hilarious. I'm like, we just had a conversation about when to turn this stuff on. It's as if the universe said, oh, you want to throw Jamie under the bus?
Yeah.
I'm going to throw your furnace under the bus.
Yeah.
The good news is we don't need a brand new furnace. But.
It's utility karma is what it is.
Yeah.
Because when I came home, I had the conversation about the utility bill has gone up.
Yeah.
Yeah, which is separate from the electricity bill.
Yeah.
Oh, my gosh. See, this is the kind of stuff that happens with home ownership that maybe you think, oh, I can afford this payment or something, but then you got to work in all this stuff. It's a lot of responsibility.
Well, I will say, and especially for like in our house is like over 100 years old, which, you know,
wow.
You tell people, they're like, oh, that's amazing. How awesome is it? Because it's literally you'll wake up and something fell off something.
Yeah.
Or something doesn't just work. Like literally one day our stove. Now the stove is not 100 years old, but like one day last month our stove just stopped working. It was like, how does the stove just stop working? Well, it turned out
it has a life.
Died.
And you yes.
Yeah.
So what did Jamie say to the furnace guy when he said, well, looks like you just needed to turn it back on?
Well, he said he laughed. He's like, well, I guess you have some sort of magical powers that were necessary for this to work.
Oh, my gosh.
But then, like I said, the guy did a bunch of diagnostics because they can run all those tests and stuff.
And what did those say? Did he say the life of your furnace is like a countdown? Like it only has 3 months to live?
So. I don't think so. He changed some sort of switch or something.
Okay.
Just in case, you know.
Yeah.
But again, it's one of those things where who knows, you know, maybe tomorrow it just won't fire up again.
Oh, my gosh.
But whatever. I mean, it's, you know, I'm just grateful. And it was not super cold last night, so it wasn't like we just threw on another blanket.
Yeah. I don't think our furnace was turned on.
No.
I don't think so, because there would have been a discussion about it.
Mm. Like, when does your furnace kick on?
I don't know.
You don't know? So you guys don't have like an actual temperature you fight over?
No.
Like in our house, I want things, you know, he will keep it at 67. I would say 69.
Yeah.
But that is a battle that I have lost.
Oh, sure.
So
you need to have it a little bit warmer.
Yeah. I like things a little warmer. I would rather wear less clothes.
Mm-hmm.
He'll just always do the thing that like your dad did.
Yeah.
Put on a sweater.
Yeah. I mean, I think that's what we did, is just put on warmer clothes.
Yeah. Because I'll go, oh, it's cold in here, and be like, you're wearing shorts. I was like, okay, I'm just saying it's cold in here. He doesn't yell, by the way. All right, when we come back on The Adventures of Bradley and Dawn, this lady, oh my God, what is in the water lately? Yesterday, Courtney Love was talking smack about Taylor Swift and Beyonce. Today, there's a lady named Carol, and Carol is being very Karen. And I'm going to tell you about this particular Karen Carol and what she had to say specifically about Sydney Sweeney, which was not very nice, when we come back right here on My Talk 107.1.
Website or app.
Hey, My Talkers, it's Dawn for David and his team at First Equity Mortgage. Do you know how awesome David and his team is? Let me tell you. Well, there's so many for sale signs out right now, and they want to get you into a home, and they want to be able to get you into a mortgage before you shop for a home. It's really important to use a local lender because they will answer the phone for you. They care about the process, and they want to help you every step of the way. There's so many customers that were so happy with the business that they got. Best in the business, Cassie and Vic say, smoothest home purchase experience I've ever had. David handled absolutely everything he could, and we fully trusted him from start to finish. That is so good to know, because this is one of the biggest decisions you'll make in your life, and you want someone on your side. So if you're thinking about refinancing, we did that with David a couple years ago as well, so he is the best in the business for that. Call David, do what dozens of My Talkers have done, 763-251-8000, or My Talk keyword David.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
I'm Bradley Trainer,
and I'm Don McClain. We have a podcast called Blinded by the Item.
A blind item is gossip about a celebrity with their name left out. It's a guessing game, and you can play along. The item might be like, this A-list star carries a Birkin bag worth more than the average person's house to the gym to work out.
Pretty sure that's J-Lo.
And P.S. the person behind all of this is Kris Jenner,
LLC. We drop a new episode every weekday, so the fun never ends.
Blinded by the Item. Listen wherever you get podcasts, and watch us on the Blinded by the Item YouTube channel.
Sometimes honesty is a good thing, and sometimes it's like, maybe I should have not said that. And we're talking about a lady named Carol. What has Carol done, Bradley?
Hi, my name's Carol, and I have opinions.
And they power.
Are very...
Oh, well, we'll get to that. I'm speaking specifically of one Carol Baum, who, by the way, has produced 34 films. And recently, she opened her mouth to tell people what she thought of one Sydney Sweeney. Now, I'll put it all into context, but I found this story, courtesy of our good friends over at the Daily Mail, a very, very reputable, deep, journalistic outlet.
Okay.
Exclusive. Sydney Sweeney is not pretty and she can't act.
What?
Declares top Hollywood producer Carol Baum, calling her movie anyone but you unwatchable. Because she didn't watch it. Okay.
Did she watch it or not?
I think she tried to watch it.
Okay, and she didn't like it.
So I thought, I'm sorry. That sounds kind of bitchy to say somebody is unattractive and can't act. Now, as a professional in Hollywood, her ability to know who can act and who can't, that's an opinion, a subjective opinion I'm willing to believe she's entitled to make.
Absolutely.
But as someone who apparently, oh God, has lots of feelings and opinions, this is what she said. Now, her films, by the way, include Father of the Bride, Buffy the Vampire Slayer. She spoke to the New York Times film critic Janet Maslin before an audience of fans following a screening of her 1988.
This wasn't just an aside to someone in the office?
Oh, no.
Oh, my gosh.
Oh, do you think it was just like,
I just thought that
woman's ugly and she can't act?
Well, I mean, it's the Daily Mail. I thought they might have like bugged her office.
You wouldn't have been far off from most of their stories. But no, she was literally following a screening of her 1988 film Dead Ringers starring Jeremy Irons. She held nothing back as she began her critique of the 26-year-old actress. Quote,
what does it have to do with Dead Ringer?
Nothing.
Oh, God.
But I think this was in the conversation afterward wherein Janet Maslin was asking her questions about Hollywood.
Okay.
And she says, there's an actress who everybody loves now, Sydney Sweeney. I don't get Sydney Sweeney. I was watching on the plane Sydney Sweeney's movie because I wanted to watch it. That's Anyone But You, the rom-com she did with Glenn Powell. Right? That's that one?
Yep, that's that one.
Yeah.
Quote, I wanted to know who she is and why everybody's talking about her. I watched this unwatchable movie. Sorry to people who love this movie, but this romantic comedy where they hate each other. She goes on to say, I said to my class, because she teaches at USC, I said to my class, great, explain this girl to me. She's not pretty. She can't act. Why is she so hot?
Oh, my gosh.
And I just thought to myself, okay, again, if you don't like someone's acting, I totally get it. Maybe it's a generational thing or whatever, but just saying she's not pretty or she's unattractive, I kind of feel like you could have made a different critique of Sydney Sweeney.
Yeah.
Without going for the jugular. Am I wrong? Am I being harsh on Carol?
No, you're not being harsh on Carol. And it concerns me that she's teaching young people this behavior in Hollywood, which we need to get rid of. Like, let's base women's abilities to do their job based on their looks. If it fits the part, like, maybe she just thinks, okay, it's okay for producers to go, I don't think that, you know, she fits the part.
Yeah.
But to go, you're ugly, is not, like, you can't.
I don't get this girl. She's ugly and she can't act.
And unfortunately, this has been going on behind the scenes for a very long time.
Well, I was going to say, like, you know, in Hollywood, I'm sure actors are like, well, every female actor in Hollywood has been like, hi. This is what I've had to deal with my whole life.
Exactly. It's a different standard, which is uncalled for. I mean, just thought, doesn't she just, there's an It Girl every year.
Also, I will say, and we talked about Sydney Sweeney. So then it became this conversation, and Mike, Dawn and I were talking about this off the air before the show as we planned out the show. And I said, look, I could even say I didn't like Sydney Sweeney in White Lotus, but actually the reason I didn't like her, I didn't like her character.
Sure.
It wasn't her acting I didn't like. And in fact, there was nothing wrong with her character. It's not even to critique the writing. It's that I think she was actually portraying a very realistic person that was unlikable, meaning a teenager.
Yeah. So she was like, she was actually a really good actress entitled, doing her part.
Exactly.
An entitled white girl, rich.
Yes.
And not aware of things.
Totally
and
representative.
Very, like, oh my God.
Of the worst of a stereotype of her generation.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. And I think I actually did watch Anyone But You, and we've talked about it. I thought it was fantastic. Yeah, I really thought it was one of the better rom-coms I've seen in a long, long time. And I think she did a great job in that. Sarah is rewatching Euphoria, of what's out there, for the second time. And I'm seeing some of her performances. I'm not sitting down watching it with her, but you can just see she's very powerful in that and knows her role and is fantastic in that film as well, or in that TV show as well. So I don't get it.
I mean,
I also just think it seems really, I don't know. Are we going to do that to young women?
Yeah.
We shouldn't. Especially a woman in the industry.
Yeah, I don't want to say that because I'm a man, but like I would, I did also think like as a woman to a woman, you're really going to do that, honey?
Yeah, because no one's really talking about like the guy's looks. I mean, we are, but in a different way, not like, oh, he's not hot enough to have that job. No one's saying that. And so it's really gross, Carol. Gross.
Also, in the later part of this story, because the Daily Mail cannot get out of a story without being just total garbage sometimes. They're like, hail, I'm not even going to, there's like a political edge to this because apparently she has like been, there are people on one side of the political spectrum that like her because she has large breasts. That is the implication they're making in this story. And
wow,
they say,
that has to do with boobs are politics now?
Apparently.
Oh,
apparently,
Lord. Okay, no.
She has been hailed as the poster girl of a long overdue cultural shift away from political correctness. An incredulous headline in one of Canada's biggest newspapers asks, are Sydney Sweeney's breasts double D harbingers of the death of woke?
Oh my God! They have so much power.
Her breasts can kill woke?
Oh my gosh. I mean, here's the thing. Selma Hayek used to talk about...
This woman is just trying to act.
I know. She does bring up her boobs, which it's like, so did Selma Hayek.
I would too,
you
if
know
I
what?
Had those boobs.
Yeah, and she talks about how her grandma thinks they're the best boobs in Hollywood.
Yeah.
That's kind of funny to me.
Yeah.
Does she lead with her boobs? Yes.
So
but
what?
You know what? She's doing parts that are like, this girl isn't doing Shakespeare, even though she could. I'm
no, but
sure.
she did a serious role in White Lotus.
Yeah.
I did not think a lot about her breasts. I'm sure others did for, you know, obvious reasons.
Well,
but...
I mean, the director of the movie Immaculate sure did. I'll tell you that.
Okay. Much. Well, but I mean, Immaculate, come on. That's not Shakespeare either.
God.
Right?
Yeah.
So I'm just saying, like, you know, she can be a multifaceted person. You can appreciate her for her breast. That doesn't mean she's not also capable of acting beyond her breasts.
Anyone but you really was Shakespeare.
Oh, that's right. It is.
Oh, you're right.
It was Much Ado About Nothing is what the whole take was.
Which just personally, I'm like, we don't need to do that story again. Yeah. But
did you know, I didn't know this, that she's being poised to remake. Is this true? Sweeney produces her own films and is tipped to star in the blockbuster Spider-Woman, as well as being poised to remake Jane Fonda's brazenly libidinous 1968 sci-fi action movie Barbarella.
Yeah, we talked about it.
We talked about Barbarella?
Because I had no idea what it was. And you guys...
Maybe I was gone that day?
Perhaps.
I mean, that
this
is
was
very,
a while ago.
Barbarella is very boob-forward.
Oh,
perfect
I love...
Role.
But that was... She's going to be fabulous.
Yeah, she's going to be great. Oh, my God. I can't wait to see her hair all blown out like that. I hope
and
she
And I
does
think
it
she's
like
gorgeous.
That.
I mean, you don't have to, like, be a...
That's subjective
attracted
anyway.
Attracted to her, but to say she's not attractive just
and
implies like what? And it, also, so?
Like, you don't get while she's, if she just wanted to say, I don't understand why people love her so much because she's not a good actress. I'm fine with that criticism.
If
but
you
like,
can show me why you think that.
Sure.
Right?
But like, just to say, because she's too ugly. Not even
Did Carol talk like that?
I don't know.
She's
like she's like a troll under a bridge at this point. Carol, do better.
Do better, Carol. Thank you. When we come back, sunshine guilt. Do you have it? Dawn's going to tell us about it when we come back right here on My Top 107.1.
It's Dawn McClain here with Mike Marcotte from Twin Cities Live and Minnesota Live. You joined the Livia program like I did.
Uh-huh.
Do you remember what made you join Livia?
Oh my gosh. Well, I was at the heaviest weight in my entire life.
Yeah.
And with my partner, he has two kids. And so I just wanted to take them up the stairs at night and not have to pant and be winded when I got to the top. And so that was my motivation to join Livia.
Was there anything surprising about the Livia program?
It's so positive. There's not a single person in the Livia office in Roseville, but they're so positive in every aspect of this journey.
And have you reached your goal?
I have reached my goal, and we actually extended it. So I'm down over 30 pounds, and I'm looking to lose more.
Join Livia today and get your first 8 weeks free. Visit Livia.com. That's Livia.com. Or call 855-GO-LIVIA. And Livia is now offering GLP-1 medications. Quiet the food noise and see accelerated results by summer. You guys, it's getting sunny outside every now and then.
It actually kind of looks maybe sunny, Mike.
It's trying.
Yeah.
It's trying to peek out.
It's trying to peek out. And I think we've had such a great winter. How can we complain about a little rain, right? Well, I saw an article.
If you met a Minnesotan, give us time.
Well, I'm trying to talk myself into this because I don't like this rain because we had sunshine.
Dawn, we need the rain because apparently we got fires coming.
Okay.
Somebody said it's been so dry, we're going to have fires.
Everyone says it's been so dry. People say that all the time.
Because it has.
I don't know.
Anyway,
sunshine shame. On my shoulders makes me happy. And there is a thing called sunshine guilt.
Oh, guilt, not shame.
Okay. And it's the latest thing we're feeling bad about.
Oh, no. Why?
Because this is a TikTok trend now. Trend is probably not the right word, but people are talking about it on TikTok. That whenever it's a warm day with a perfect breeze and sunny, you should feel happy and relaxed, right? Unless you're stuck inside at work or home. But people are now saying that they have sunshine guilt. It's gone viral. It has 12.4 million views on this one video. It's the guilt of knowing that it's nice outside, but you want to stay inside.
I think I kind of understand that, actually.
Do you have it?
I mean, if you mean, because here's where I would feel something like this, sunshine guilt. Saturday or Sunday, probably, and I want to take a nap.
Oh,
and it is beautiful and sunny. In fact, it was this Saturday because it was beautiful and sunny this Saturday. And when I laid down to take my nap at noon, I was like, this is just stupid because I should be outside sucking up every last bit of the sunshine.
True.
So I kind of got that. I mean, it wasn't like I was sitting there going, oh, I'm a terrible person.
Yeah.
So well, is that the same thing?
It is the same thing. It's just wrestling with these thoughts that you should be doing something outside. And
do you not wrestle with those thoughts?
I just go outside. Which is what I thought. Like,
Don's like, just get over it. Go outside.
I just think that sometimes because there is an audience for everything on the internet now, that people think up reasons to be sad.
That's true.
Because it gets people to click on it. But then is that just adding to a sadness that isn't really there? It's just like, let's get sad about this. It's so silly, I think. It's just, now, the only way, the only way that I would say, like, if you just don't have the opportunity to get outside.
Well, that's not the same thing. Yeah, because you're trapped in a bunker.
Yeah.
No, I think that's not this. This sounds like I just feel bad because I should be outside. I will say I didn't have any sunshine guilt most of my life. My mother would yell at me
to get outside.
To get outside. When I she'd stop watching TV and get outside. It's a beautiful day. So that's like a thing.
Sure.
So I can see where people might have some like residual like.
Parent,
it's also how I feel when I take a nap. Do you notice a theme here? Because my mom would yell at me if I ever took a nap.
Oh.
And by yell, I mean she would just like
criticize.
Don't take a nap because you're going to be up all night.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
And so like on a weekend like this, I think I just have some residual guilt from napping as a child. Okay.
Okay.
Well, I'm going to deal with that with my therapist. But anyway, back to sunshine guilt. Mike, do you have it?
Not at all.
Because you go outside or you just don't.
I just love how you're like,
no, because I don't care. I'm not going to feel guilty about that.
Yeah.
Are you an indoor person, Dawn, when it's sunny out? Like, do you not care two bits?
I love it so much. I love the heat and
the sun. I thought you were saying you love being inside.
I feel like I've checked the box. Yes, whenever it's sunny, yeah.
Okay.
I do try to. In my heart of hearts, I would love to be able to have, even if I'm in the sun and the window is there. And I'm sitting in the sun like a cat, I'm happy, you know? But I guess I do feel the pressure of like, well, I got to get outside because it's a beautiful day and I need to go take a walk.
But it's not like a huge pressure.
It isn't a huge pressure, but I guess I do feel kind of guilty if I don't go out.
Well, come on now.
But I always want to do both. Like, I want to take my Nintendo Switch and sit outside.
Okay. Why can't you?
I can, except for the glare on the screen. Then I'm like, okay, well, would I need to sit inside a tent outside in the park on my Switch? Look at that lady over there. What's she doing?
God, we're going on a whole journey now.
My boyfriend does not care about this. He is perfectly fine. He actually likes to be inside more.
Yeah.
You know?
Well, I was going to say, I think it would be people that like to be inside that would have less sunshine guilt, right? Because if you don't care, you're just like, screw it, I'm going to be inside. You know, and I would imagine people who like to be in a basement playing games or something, they don't care what it's like outside.
Yeah.
I like to be outside. I just, to Don's point very early on in this story, I don't care about other people's perception of what I should be sad about or what I should have guilt about.
But that means you're not
going to deal with it. Yeah, yeah, exactly.
Yeah. That means you definitely don't have the guilt. Because guilt, by definition, is something that you're carrying around that nobody is putting on you.
For sure.
That's true. Now, a psychologist talked about this, and they said that it has to do with like FOMO and social pressures that people
see that.
Feel. So,
like, you're going to turn up at the water cooler on Monday, and people are like, "Did you enjoy that nice weekend outside?"
Yeah, like, what did you do? And then you have to admit, like, "Oh, I organized my socks,
watched YouTube videos for 4 hours.
Yeah, I watched Evil Lives Here on Discovery
with my blanket around my head." In the dark.
You know I do that. That soft blanket I have.
With your 8 stuffed animals?
Yeah, that's right. All around me. So I don't really, I didn't take this that way, but this psychologist, I didn't think about the perspective of that people
feel social
are conditioned
pressure.
To associate sunny days with activity and productivity. And there's a societal norm that good weather should not be wasted.
I think that's a total truism. I think there is a huge social norm, at least maybe it's generational. I don't know. But I know in growing up, people get outside. It's nice out. Get outside.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Go enjoy the day. Yeah. Like that was a thing when we were kids.
That's true. And we just did it. Well, we didn't have all the other opportunities to be entertained inside.
Well, I did watch a lot of television. And I think my mom was trying to keep me from, you know, too much television.
Yeah. I mean, but eventually Gunsmoke would come on and you're like, I'm not sitting around for this.
That's true.
You know, I don't know.
Yeah. Well, and then we would be gone for 6 hours.
Mm-hmm.
Right. This was actually different. It changes, right? Because that the younger you are, the more likely you are to, I think, be excited about being outside.
Yeah.
By the time I was in high school, I was sitting on the couch a lot.
Okay.
Because I wanted to watch TV and I just hated the world.
Oh, sure. Okay. Yeah. You
know, like well, I was just a dark teen.
Were you?
Oh, yeah.
Now, do you think that that has to do with your mom telling you don't watch too much TV, so then it made you want to watch more?
No, I think it's just being a teenager. And it's like, what did my parents tell me to do? Great, I'll do the exact opposite.
Sure, right, exactly. Yeah. Oh.
Or wait, so yeah, does that...
I think that would be...
That just actually then makes your point. Yeah.
It does make my point. And she didn't pressure you to go outside, or she'd be like...
No, she was yelling at me all the time, like, get outside, it's nice out. And I'd be like, I want to watch my shows.
And you're like, and do what?
Exactly.
I didn't talk back to my parents, so...
The summer after I came back from my freshman year of college,
mm-hmm.
They worked, and I would sit, and this was the last summer I was allowed to come home.
Oh,
because I spent
no.
the entire summer sitting on a couch, smoking ciggies.
Oh, my. Inside,
in the Barca Lounger, watching like Joan Rivers and Jenny Jones all day.
Whatever talk
smoking
show.
Smoking a pack of ciggies. Then I'd watch like, you know, Family Feud or whatever game shows.
Golden Girls would come on, and that was your very
happy
place.
Well,
no, that
wasn't in reruns yet.
Oh, okay.
That was
prime time.
Yeah.
But yeah, all those talk shows. Like Sally, Jesse, Raphael.
Oh, God, I was a daytime talk show whore. I loved them.
Maury Povich.
Yes.
Oh, my gosh, yes. And even some of those other ones like, what's the one that we always associate with like Robert Downey Jr., but it wasn't, he's not a relative of him.
It's Morton Downey Jr.?
Morton Downey Jr.
Oh, my God,
Jr.
Morton Downey Jr. I did watch a lot of Morton Downey Jr., but he was very, very controversial.
Yeah.
Morton Downey Jr. is the one that didn't he end up having like neo-Nazis and stuff on? Well, they all
for
did.
God's
like Geraldo.
Sake. Oh, Geraldo.
Yeah.
I think. And then, oh, my gosh. What's she?
What's her name?
Paula Poundstone.
Paula Poundstone.
Oh,
no,
she
did
no,
not.
She
know,
did, she, no, she's bad. She's real bad.
Okay, we don't need to go there.
Yeah. Oh, gosh.
She didn't age well.
There's a girl who was
Ricky Lake.
Ricky Lake, thank you. And then there was Rosie O'Donnell. I mean, the whole lineup all day. You could just...
Oprah, Arsenio Hall, Merv Griffin.
Yes.
Dick Cavett. No, that's too early.
Dick Cavett. That's for Carol Baum.
Who am I thinking of?
This is
a fun walk down memory lane.
That's fine. Yeah. This is why we didn't
Sally. I was a huge Sally Jesse Raphael fan.
Yeah. She was.
Did you like her? Who was your favorite daytime talk show host?
I loved Sally. I loved Jenny Jones.
Donahue. Did you watch Donahue? I loved Donahue.
Donahue, yes. Yeah. And then it turned into Jerry Springer because that was like, whoa, this is off the charts.
Mike, did you watch a lot of daytime TV? Was that big when you were growing up?
No, I remember feeling like rebellious when we would go to somebody's house and watch Jerry Springer. Like, we shouldn't be watching this.
Yes.
So that was, that's the extent of my daytime talk show.
Oh, and then I watched soap operas. Like, I watched... Days of Our Lives and Another
All
World,
Children,
and then Passions.
Passions,
which is, that is one of the most hilarious
Passions
shows.
Was the one with aliens. Didn't they have aliens or
Passions had witches. I mean, Passions was a masterpiece.
I mean, they all kind of masterpiece.
It's a campy, like tongue-in-cheek, the actors were terrible, masterpiece. Jesse Metcalf came from Passions.
Oh, really?
Oh, yeah.
I mean,
I could watch Passions all over again and be very happy.
Is it available somewhere, I wonder, streaming?
I hope so. God, that would be a long journey.
Montel Williams. All right. We got to go.
Steve Harvey.
Well, that's new.
Okay. So we're staying inside. Basically, sunshine guilt doesn't exist to us because
we're totally fine.
We're just going to do whatever it is we want to do.
I'm trying to think of the other. Oh, I can't think of her name. Not Roe. What was her name? I'll figure it out in the break. When we come back,
please.
Mike is going to spin his game show roulette wheel, and where it lands determines what game we're playing when we come back right here on My Talk.
Welcome back to the show, The Adventures of Bradley and Dawn. Please download our podcast, like and subscribe to it, and it will make you immensely happy. Now let's get to something that's going to make us happy right now, playing a game with Mike.
Time now to play along. It's
Game Show Roulette.
Here's your host, Mike Ganger.
It is how we wrap up every show. I spin the game show roulette wheel. Wherever that wheel stops, that's the game show we play today. Here it goes. And let's see what we're going to play.
What is this?
It's time for what was formerly known as String Quartet Showdown. Now it's known as
Mariachi Quartet.
Mariachi Matchup or something.
Yeah.
I don't know what we're going to call it.
Mariachi Madness.
It's all mariachi music today for our String Quartet Showdown. How it works is I play a modern song that's been given, in this case, the mariachi treatment. We've done 8-bit games before, or 8-bit video game sounds before. We've done pipe organ last time we played. And now this time, we're going to be talking about mariachi music. Now, I will say some of these are instrumentals, others are not. And some words might start coming in there, which will give you a little bit more of a clue into what we are looking for. So I've got 5 songs here. Let's see how the two of you can do as we will run through again.
All
you need to do is tell me the name of the artist or the name of the song.
Okay.
That's what we're looking for.
Let's do it.
Yell out your name when you think you know the name of the artist or the song. Are you ready for a little mariachi madness?
Yes.
Señor.
It's our next edition of String Quartet Showdown, and it's all mariachi music. Let's start with our first track. Here we go. Name this song.
Bradley Traynor.
Bradley.
Where do they all come from? Eleanor Rigby, the Beatles.
Yeah!
Got it!
That's
so beautiful.
It's like sits in a church for something about her teeth or rice.
Oh,
rice in a bag. Where
rice in a bag? Well, and
she's
her teeth?
Rice at a wedding, but not her teeth.
Oh, my God.
I just want you to keep telling us about this song.
Where do they all I'll admit, I am not a Beatles aficionado.
Well, that's why the first one did not go your way. That's a Beatles song, Dawn. And Bradley gets the first point there. We move on to our second song. Again, we are talking String Quartet Showdown, except this time it's all mariachi music. Are the two of you ready for your second track?
Yeah.
Yes. All right. Well, then let me know who sings, or which original artists or groups sang this song, or the name of the song.
Oh, Dawn.
Dawn.
Another One Bites the Dust.
Yes.
Oh, my God. Good one. I want to dance to this song.
You can. Get up. Come on now. No one's stopping you.
Yeah, he's shaking his boobies.
Okay. That is Another One Bites the Dust in the form
another
of mariachi
one bites
music.
The dust.
Nicely done. You got that one. Very, very well done. We are going to move on to our third song. It's a 1-1 score now. Dawn got the second one. Bradley got the first. And we are going to take a trip to another mariachi hit. Well, it's actually a hit for somebody else that was turned into a mariachi hit.
A hit in its own right.
Exactly. Are the two of you ready for this next one?
Yep.
All right. Name the group or the song you hear right here. She just said it.
Back in Black.
That is AC/DC. Back in Black. There you go. Like I said, they're going to get a little easier because somebody's have words.
Just wait for the words, Dawn. Get it.
A little female mariachi remake of Back in Black. I love this song.
Yes. Who is she? I need her in my life.
It's a mariachi fusion group. I'm trying to figure out their name here. Yeah,
see how talented people are and you don't even know their names.
That is awesome. So. There you go.
Scrabble.
See how people are so interesting and you didn't even know who they were.
Look at this amazing world.
Have we talked about Postmodern Jukebox?
No, I don't think so.
So that might be your next adventure.
Okay.
There's it's a fun group called Postmodern Jukebox, and they take songs, like modern day songs, and turn them into like, you know, a 1920s flapper hit.
Oh, that's awesome.
And that might work for this. I don't know. But anyway, that just made me think of that.
Coming to a game show roulette near you soon.
Perhaps.
We'll see.
All right.
We've got a 2-1 lead for Bradley because he got that one there. Again, I didn't realize she was going to literally say the name of the song, but she
did. Free point for me.
Again, we'll see how it goes. And we will move on to our next song, as here is song number 4, String Quartet Showdown with a mariachi vibe today. Name the artist or the song that you hear right here.
Get it.
I even get words.
Bradley Trainer. Dance with you.
It is not Dance with You. Since you got to hear it all the way to the end last time, I'll let Dawn hear it all the way to the end. Dawn, think if you can name this song. Any idea what that song could potentially be called?
Marry You?
It's called Marry You. There you go. It's called Marry You by...
Who is that?
You know, it's Bruno Mars.
Oh, you know, one of those obscure artists like Bruno Mars.
Yes, you know, you very rarely hear
like
his work.
I knew this song, I could just not think of who's singing it.
Let you marry you. There you go. It is Marry You from Bruno Mars. That is our fourth song, Dawn. You got it.
Good job.
Wow.
So it is all tied up 2-2 as we head to our final song.
It's anybody's game.
It truly is. Doing a little mariachi music today for String Quartet Showdown. It's been hotly requested by, especially by Bradley. You wanted that for us. And we've got one final one. Are you ready?
Yeah!
This is to decide it all. I will say this one does have words, but it's not for a while. So if it gets there, you might have an opportunity. But here we go. As soon as you know the artist or the name of this song, ring in. And if you're right, you're going to be the winner today. Final song for our Mariachi Madness matchup. Here we go. Baby. Oh, hold on a second. That was a little too early.
It's called Baby.
Bradley,
oh,
for the
darling,
win.
Darling, darling, stand.
Yes, that's it.
By me.
That is so awesome because that is all I heard as well. It's not that song, though.
No.
Dawn,
way.
For the Robbed. Win, you get a little bit more.
Can you see?
Oh, God.
You belong to me. I'm a cool hearted.
I thought it was I'm a cool hearted snake.
Every step you take.
But what's the name of the song? Or who sings it?
I'll be watching you. Sting. It's a creepy song.
We're going to give it to you. Yes, you knew Sting, obviously. It's Every Breath You Take
every
is the name of the song.
Yeah.
Nicely done.
Good job.
It is a soccer song. There you go. You guys did it.
Yeah.
I am proud of the two of you.
That's so much fun.
That was fun, Mike.
It's a fun song. Yeah.
No, I appreciate it.
We got a whole bunch of these, though.
Let's see. Do you have another one?
Just for fun.
Yeah. Dun, dun, the Nightly dun, News.
Dun, 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 dun. This is, we know this.
Yeah, you
know. This is Coldplay.
Yes, it is. Viva la Vida from Coldplay. How about this one, just for fun?
Okay.
Don't think it's going to be too difficult, but...
Good job in the city. Tina Turner.
The Proud Mary there.
That's great.
All right, there
God,
you go.
I just
that's your
go home and listen to mariachi covers.
You certainly can.
Mike, thank you so much.
With the heat on.
For this one. Or not. Because your furnace just died. Anyway, we're good. Hey, dear listeners, thanks for listening. We'll be back again tomorrow on The Adventures of Bradley and Dawn. Don't forget, we got a podcast, a show within a show. It's called Blinded by the Item. Just like the show, you can podcast, but that's with the juicy bits and gossip with the names left out. We'll be back again tomorrow. Up next, Lori and Julia. Have a fabulous afternoon. Bye.
Bye.